now time for the Bible Answers program, in which we present a frank and earnest discussion of Bible truths in an endeavor to answer your questions. Our subject for this program is the true and living God. In this age of war, what a comfort to read in the Bible, He will make wars to cease, even unto the ends of the earth. The psalmist David says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord." And I believe this is true in my own life. I have so much to be thankful for. And yet, I think that it is important to get even better acquainted with my God, my Father, which art in heaven. But first, these programs are from the Dawn Bible Students Association, publishers of the Dawn magazine in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. Now, Ed, the Bible says, "Acquaint now thyself with God and be at peace." Will you help us to do just that?
To be acquainted with God means to know some of the glorious attributes of His character, and to be in harmony with Him, or at peace with Him. There will be no peace among the nations until the people of all nations are at peace with God. And I mean more than merely acknowledging belief in the existence of a supreme intelligent Creator.
Which reminds me of the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth even as it is in heaven." It will be the answer to this prayer, it seems to me, that will bring God's promised peace on earth.
And Russell, what a reassuring thought that is.
I agree. The wisdom and power of God, which enabled Him to create the whole vast universe, can certainly accomplish His will so far as this little planet Earth is concerned. But here's another question. We often hear the expression omnipotent God. Does the word omnipotence properly describe one of God's characteristics?
Indeed it does. It means having unlimited power, able, that is, to do anything. The Bible properly refers to the Creator as the Almighty God.
Ed, omniscience is another word often applied to God. It means, I believe, knowing all things.
And it is true of God. The Bible tells us that God perceives all things, sees all things, hears all things, and remembers all things, that is, when He wills to do so.
Do you mean that there are some things which God does not will to hear or to remember?
Indeed there are. God has promised not to remember the sins of those who return to harmony with Him through Christ. This is true of Jesus' followers in the present age, and it will be true of all who come into harmony with Him during the age of Christ's kingdom. Concerning these, God's promise is, "I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more."
Why, Ed, that would mean that through Christ, the original sentence of death is thus set aside.
Which in turn means that all mankind will be given an opportunity to live forever. In this, of course, we see another glorious characteristic of God, that is, His love. It was His love for His human creation which prompted Him to send His Son to be the Redeemer and the Savior of the people.
The Bible says that God is love. But, Ed, what about the word omnipresence? I understand this means being everywhere at the same time. Is this true of God?
Well, the Bible teaches that God is a person, an individual. Therefore, it would not be correct to speak of Him as being literally present everywhere all the time. However, God is capable of exercising his powers everywhere at the same time. In the Bible, his care over his people is described from this standpoint.
In other words, we cannot escape from the presence of God, for he has the ability to see and hear us and to exercise his care over us, even to discipline us wherever we are and at any time he wishes.
Absolutely. In the 139th Psalm, David spoke of this. Addressing the Creator, he said, and I quote, "If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand leads me, and thy right hand holds me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee." And Russell, those are verses 8 to 12.
Ed, that is a really beautiful text. However, there is one statement in that passage that does puzzle me. David said to God, "If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." What does this mean? How could righteous David and a loving God both be in hell? Isn't hell supposed to be a place where the wicked are tormented?
If hell were a place where the wicked are tormented, there would be no way of explaining David's statement. David, for example, spoke of making his bed in hell. One could hardly make a bed and lie down to rest in a hell burning with fire and brimstone.
But, Ed, what does it mean?
The Hebrew word here translated hell, as is always is the case in the Old Testament, is Sheol, meaning simply the condition of death. What David says poetically is that even though he should die and rest in the sleep of death, he would not be beyond the reach of God's power, that God's hand, so to speak, would be in his own due time able to reach down into Sheol, into death, and restore him to life.
In other words, this was David's way of expressing his faith in the promises of God to restore the dead to life. I like that. But, Ed, are you sure that he has not prepared a place in which to torment his enemies?
Very sure indeed. The Genesis account of creation makes no mention of a place of torment being created. Besides, God loves his enemies, and those who, when given a full opportunity to reform and serve him, refuse to do so, he will lovingly destroy in death. That is why the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. I realize, of course, that there are certain texts in the New Testament which have been misunderstood to teach that God will torment unbelievers. But when properly understood, they do not so teach. The God of the Bible is truly a God of love and mercy.
But, Ed, doesn't the Bible also speak of God's justice? Is it his justice, possibly, that leads him to torment sinners?
No. Justice is the quality of being fair, that which is in balance. The worst of sinners could not commit enough sins in a whole lifetime to equal an eternity of torture. This is a distorted conception of God's justice, a product of the Dark Ages.
How, then, does God's justice operate?
Through the sentence of death which came upon our first parents, as in Adam all die, Paul wrote, and he added, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Jesus, as the Redeemer, is a substitute in death for man and for the whole family of man. This provides an awakening from death for all and a future opportunity to believe and obey and live forever.
That is a wonderful plan of salvation, which I can see also reveals the infinite wisdom of God.
When God's plan is completed, the whole world will truly be acquainted with God and be at peace. There are some of these facts clearly shown in the little book, God and Reason. Russell, tell our friends about it and how they may obtain a free copy.
Yes, Ed, I'll be glad to do just exactly that. Friends, God and Reason is filled with inspiration and hope. You will want to read its quotations of scientists setting forth why they believe in the existence of a supreme, intelligent creator. It shows from the Bible that there is a way out of present world chaos and fear, that it is God's way out. It proves from the Bible that the human race will not be destroyed by nuclear missiles. The end of the world does not mean the destruction of the earth and of the human race. The judgment day is not doomsday, but will be a day of glorious opportunity for mankind. Now, that is different, but it is scriptural. Sin, sickness, pain, wars, and other evils are not to continue on this earth forever. These are but some of the vital truths set forth in God and Reason and proved by the Scriptures. It will give you new hope for yourself and for your friends. So send now for your little book, and you will enjoy reading it. Simply address a card or a letter to Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. That is Frank and Ernest, Box 60, General Post Office, New York City. Ask for the little book, God and Reason, and it will be sent to you free by mail, and of course, there will be no obligation.
Send for your free booklet today. Mail your request to Frank and Ernest, Post Office Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. To repeat, mail your request to Frank and Ernest, P.O. Box 60, New York, New York, 10116. Or call this toll-free number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That's 1-800-234-DAWN. The booklet will be sent to you free and without obligation. This program is brought to you each week by the Dawn Bible Students Association in cooperation with local Bible study groups and by the many friends of Frank and Ernest everywhere. To repeat, call toll-free the following number, 1-800-234-DAWN. That is 1-800-234-DAWN to receive without obligation the free booklet offered. Please include the call letters of this station with your request. Ask your friends to listen to our program, won't you please? And now, goodbye, and may God bless you.